We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
And we're coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. The Knicks with an impressive...
Excuse me. Boy, I spit in the garbage bin. The Knicks with an impressive victory last night. I'm going to need some water, I think. You hear that? It's opening day in baseball. And we've got this story out there, another negative Jets story that I don't know whether or not to believe. But of course, there's another negative Jets story in this offseason. But we don't have any Mets today, unfortunately, with the terrible weather around here. But we do have the Yankees and the Astros at 4 o'clock with two completely different expectation levels for both of these teams going into the season. You get excited when you got high expectations, but obviously it sets you up for disappointment. You're not as excited when the season starts with low expectations, but there's more room to get excited if they exceed expectations, and that's a situation we're in with the Yankees and the Mets. Thank you, Al, for the water. I appreciate that. I am going to need it. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing well, G, and I'm doing well because this morning I wake up and the Knicks do exactly what they were supposed to do last night. And, you know, it's interesting what's happening with this team, with Mitchell Robinson now showing back up and playing limited minutes, but didn't look like any different than prior to this ankle injury that he had and the surgery that he had. He looked pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
And Thibodeau, I was watching him after the game, was talking about his conditioning, and he thought that he looked pretty good. Now, it's the first game back, and, you know, they got to travel out to San Antonio now, and it's, you know, those are the rigors of the NBA that he has to get back into, and that's not anything to be take lightly. So that's a good thing. But, you know, I always love when a player all of a sudden starts to show up. And if you look at the last five games of Deuce McBride's sequence here, he has, last night he only played 40 minutes. Every other game was 43 or 44 minutes.
I was going to say only more. 40 minutes.
Yeah, only 40 minutes. But this is the last five games. Mm-hmm. I think it was like one other game 10 games ago he played 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But this young man is seizing every opportunity to get playing time. And you never know when you're going to find a diamond in the rough. And I can't say enough about how quiet he's been, just been waiting. He was sitting behind quickly, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And now all of a sudden he's had the opportunity. And, you know, his game last night was awesome. I mean, he was awesome from three-point land, and he looked great up and down the court. He brings so much energy to this team. And it's kind of like when you think of him, Josh Hart, if you had your whole team together,
yeah,
It's him, Josh Hart, and Hartenstein coming off the bench.
Hartenstein,
same thing. You know who I'm talking about. You take those three guys, they come off the bench, they bring this instant energy.
Yeah.
But the more you watch them play, the better they are. And I don't know what you do with this kid. I mean, he has created a real problem and a good problem for Tom Thibodeau. So, I don't know, I can't say enough about him, Jalen Brunson, the way the team is playing, and beating teams that you're supposed to beat, and taking care of them early in games, and don't even give them a chance to believe that they have a chance to win.
Yeah, and I think that Tom Thibodeau has sort of been under the radar this year, because coaches, when things are going bad, will be yelled at. When things are going good, you don't really give them praise, but with the Deuce McBride thing, and yesterday in the first quarter was as fun as it gets. I mean, it's a regular season game that you have to win, so in that bubble, him hitting 6 three-pointers in the first quarter was just awesome to watch.
Very un-Nick-like in past years.
Right. So, and the reason I bring up the coach is, yeah, there was a stretch when those guys were hurt and they were losing games and things got a little dicey. But other than that, he has found the perfect mix now, especially with Anunoby out again. So when OG comes back, team looks great, couple of games, he goes out again. But then, you know, just figuring out who works well together. Who the trade with Alec Burks and Bogdanovich has not worked out. So he's not forcing that in any way. Riding the hot hand with Deuce McBride. There's been so many years that we have talked about how Tom Thibodeau does not use the roster in the way that we would like to see. He's too many minutes here. There's not enough minutes here. He's grinding this guy to death. I think he's done, and I don't think it's the fault of Tom Thibodeau that Randall and Anunoby got hurt. I don't think he was playing him too many minutes. This is the amount of minutes that he should have been playing. But I think this year, more than ever, it's like he has learned throughout his career to become the best coach possible, and he's found the perfect mix with these guys, and he deserves so much credit.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say they end up with the number three seed in the East. Like, who else is better at coach of the year? I mean, given all the injuries that he has had,
yeah,
given what he's had to deal with in terms of trying to find, different combinations and getting the best out of the second team players, if you will, although none of these guys seem to be second team players anymore. They all seem to be starters. And the biggest problem he's going to have, if Julius Randle comes back, now I said April 3rd, so that would be next week sometime. If he's lucky, I know he's doing some work in training camp, and he's up there in Tarrytown, and he's working out and all this other stuff. The problem is the way that he plays basketball. And I saw John Starks yesterday at the auto show. I was just asking him, what do you think about Julius? Because I really want. He goes, I don't know anything specifically, but I will tell you that by the way that Julius plays, especially when he gets close to the basket, what does he do? He lowers his shoulder. It's part of his game. And when he has that part of his game going, that makes him a physical player, and that's what the Knicks want him to be. They want him to be physical. They want him to get rebounds. It's not just the outside mid-range jumper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's his game. I didn't even think about that. He goes, think about it, Boomer. You're coming off, you're a quarterback, and you're coming off maybe a mild separation or some sort of dislocation or whatever, and you get hit. How do you think it's going to feel? How do you think you're going to play? And that's the thing. Like last night, watching Mitchell Robinson, it didn't seem like there was anything in the back of his mind that he was trying to protect himself.
Yeah.
It looked like he was totally healthy and he felt confident watching him running up and down the court. It looked like the Mitchell Robinson that started the season before he got hurt. And that's a good thing. And that's where you want Anunoby to be, and that's where you want Julius Randle to be. You just don't want them coming back just because they feel like they have to come back. And, of course, we want them back, but you want them back being the players that they were prior to the injuries.
Right, and especially if you're around the 3, 4, 5, and you don't have to worry about falling out of the top six, and as they continue to win, and the fact that West Coast swing was what it was for them really helped those matters, because things were tight, and we were saying going into that swing, who knows where they're going to be after it, and they fought through and were great, and then had this game last night up in Toronto, but yeah, I mean, you're afforded that time when you're not fighting to stay out of the play-in. And they have played well enough without those two guys to have that comfort. So I am not worried, because I know this is one of those classic sports talk things where, what if those guys come back and then screw everything up because the team's playing so well without them?
It's unselfish.
I am not worried about that at all. The way that Anunoby fit right in when he first got here and then the couple games he played before leaving again. Julius Randle, who we have had issues with in the postseason, was playing a brand of basketball that we had hoped that he had played since the second that he got here. Things changed in the playoffs for him, and I hope that it negatively, and I hope that doesn't happen again, but I've got more faith in him now in the second year with Jalen Brunson that he's not going to turn into that selfish player. So I just think it makes the team better and deeper, and I'm not worried about those guys coming back and affecting it negatively because you got a game last night like you did.
Yeah, well, I mean, Toronto stinks. They're one of the worst teams in the league, and that's why you got to beat these teams, and that's why they got to go out and they got to beat the Spurs now. And I just think that if Julius Randle does come back, Anunoby's going to come back, but if Julius Randle does come back, you know, he's got to fit in. He's got to see this team that's winning, that's playing hard, playing together. It's not about 35 minutes now. It may only be, you know, an 18 to 22 minute situation with him so they don't hurt his shoulder. And they'll watch him very closely if he does come back and he does play. They'll watch him very closely how he is playing. And if he isn't playing the way he was prior to his injury, then there's no reason to play him because then he's only getting in the way and he's doing things that they're not expecting him to do. So that's the mental part. And this goes for every sport, by the way. It's not just Julius Randle in basketball. It could happen in hockey. It could happen in baseball. It happens in football all the time. Like I was telling you, if Saquon Barkley was playing for the Giants and he signed the deal that he got from the Eagles, he'd probably be upset. And then maybe if he tweaked a knee or hurt a hip or hurt a hamstring, he'd take a couple weeks off because he feels like he's being disrespected by the team that drafted him.
Yeah.
But now he's with the Eagles, and he has a point to prove, so he's going to be motivated. And that, again, that's not just Saquon. That's every player that goes through what Saquon has gone through since he's been here. So I would just say, yeah, you got to watch and see what Julius Randle looks like when he comes back. Do you even need him now? Do you feel like you need him?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because I'll answer it with a question. All right, need him to go how far? Because if you're telling me, do you need him to get to an NBA Finals and compete for a championship? My answer is yes. Do you need him to get to an Eastern Conference Final? Probably not.
He's not playing 35 minutes, though.
Probably not. Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they spread out that first round. You know, they could work him in easily. By the time you get to the conference championship, he might come back playing the minutes that they want him to. And he's been moving around. He's in shape. It's just the contact that you're talking about that he's going to have to deal with. So I think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals without him. I don't think that they could get past that without him.
So that would mean Denver, Oklahoma City, you know.
Well, you're talking about the finals.
Yes,
now.
Yes. I'm thinking about a West Coast team that, you know, if they ended up getting to the finals. Actually, I can't even believe I'm even talking about that right now. And right. I don't want to talk about that right now. What I want to talk about, however, is just now the depth that they have on this team and all these guys that have been winning these games and have been playing defense and been running up and down the court. I mean, when everybody's healthy, all these numbers are going to get cut in half. These guys have been playing 40 minutes, 35 minutes, 38 minutes. And most of the guys that are doing that were normal guys about 22 to 24 minutes.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden they're playing and we're seeing, them play well, especially like Deuce McBride. This guy is just like come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and all that's going to do is make those guys better. This experience that they have is going to make them better. And I don't think that, you know, if Deuce McBride and Dante DiVincenzo and Hartenstein and all these guys that we have seen fill in and admirably, their minutes are going to get cut into in the playoffs. They're still going to get out there. They're still going to contribute. And they're not going to care as much because what they do in the postseason is going to be remembered forever. So in those 24 minutes, you know, Deuce McBride comes in and hits three threes like, you know, he did last night when he hit six in the first quarter. Then, I mean, we'll never forget it.
The two guys that I think that end up losing minutes here are going to be Bogdanovich and Burks when those two other guys come back.
Yeah.
That to me would be the sensible thing. And the other thing, too, is this Precious Achiuwa?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he was like a money throw-in or something. I'm not sure if they wanted, you know, he was like the apple of their eye.
No.
But look at what he's done since OG Anunoby's been out.
Right. And I think it was, you know, get another big in there while we're dealing with these injuries is sort of what it was. We'll give him some minutes, and he has far exceeded expectations.
My God, yes.
So yeah, I mean, and that's another one of those things where, you know, maybe when that deal was made, Thibodeau was like, I don't know how I'm going to use him. Then he shows up and sees how he's playing and inserts him into the lineup and then keeps playing him and then has no choice but to keep playing him because he's been so good. So yeah, I mean, I'm confident and I know that I can't imagine that they're going to just lay an egg in the postseason. Even, you know, with the injuries that they've dealt with, I think Anunoby will be back. I think they're being careful with him, even though he screamed in that game that he re-injured his elbow. It didn't sound great. But, like, I can't, like, if and when they lose, it's going to be some sort of, like they're going to go out in a blaze of glory type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to be like, what happened to the Knicks?
Right. Now,
they're just so tough and so good and so cohesive that if a team beats them, they beat them. But it's going to be really, really hard.
What do you think about this remaining schedule? They got that weird thing with the Bulls three out of the last six games.
Yeah. Well, hey, fine.
I mean they should be able to. I think when I look at that schedule right there, I see three seed.
Yeah.
I see.
All right. So if you want to say you're beating the Spurs, they stink. So you got the Thunder at home. I mean, you know, any game at home, the Thunder are really, really good. But you should be winning
but
how many games?
The Garden's been on fire.
Is that 10 or 11? I can't even. I tried to count quickly. I don't know.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
10. All right. So let's do
8 and 2.
8 and 2. 7 and 3.
All right. 7 and 3.
You signed for 7 and 3 right now.
But you know the Garden's been on fire, man.
Oh, yeah.
And the player's been playing to it, too. I mean, that's the thing.
You got a couple of games in there that are locks. I mean, at least two of the Bulls games out of the three are locks. The Nets are a lock. And
they got
Spurs
the Celtics and the, they got the Celtics and the Bucks in there. They got the Kings. Think of it as I was predicting the Kings game for the Julius Randle return. Now I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Maybe they move it back a week. Maybe they move it to the, you know, maybe the 11th or so.
Yeah,
April 11th.
Now you're going 11th.
Well, I'm going to stick with my initial prediction.
You said the second. I thought April.
Well,
2nd.
I said the game, the third. The game is on the third.
Oh, okay. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's on the third or the fourth. Whatever that Kings game is, that's okay. What I thought. Because right. It was at home, and yeah. It was early April, and they would want to get him like they're getting Mitchell Robinson now, you know, running, get him going, you know, work on the conditioning. I'm sure Julius is in pretty good shape, but it's basketball shape. It's full on, and you can't appreciate, you know, trying to recreate that kind of intensity, especially if you're playing the Kings, if you're playing the Bucks, if you're playing the Celtics. You know, those games are going to be intense. And, you know, that's where you want to see him and see what he is going to give you and be able to give you. And then that's when the decision, if Julius does come back, that's the real hard decision for Tom Thibodeau. Does he owe a debt of gratitude and does he owe Julius Randle? Because Julius has been a good player for him and has been has gotten along great with the coach. Maybe not so much with the fans at times, but with the coach he has been. The coach has always had his back. Does he have I owe Julius Randle the opportunity to play 35 minutes if Julius Randle is not playing the way that he was playing prior to the injury?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That's the toughest decision for
right.
me.
And it is. It's so exciting to think as we sit here with both of these teams, how will we remember them? Will we remember Artemi Panarin like Mark Messier? Will we remember Jalen Brunson like Clyde Frazier? Or will we remember Julius Randle more like Patrick Ewing, who was great but never really got over the hump? Or Shesterkin like Hank, who was great but didn't get over the hump? Or will we be looking at him like Richter because he won a championship?
Because he won a championship, yeah, it's a good point.
We're right there with these teams.
But look at us, man, talking positive about sports today.
Yeah.
And you, not because it's your Knick team, and I know you love the Knick team, you're not doing to yourself what you did to me yesterday.
That's not true.
And you tried to, you know, get under my skin yesterday. You tried to be Mr. Negativity.
The same thing remains with the Knicks. If they ended up losing in the first round or even in the second round to an opponent that I thought that they were better than, it would be a disaster in this regular season. Wouldn't mean anything to me. That holds true.
But you have to admit,
the expectations are high now, man. Let's go.
Part of, you know, obviously, part of the sports is it's the entertainment value that it brings to us, and we pay for that. We pay for that through our cable bills, through our, you know, through our live streaming bills, to our tickets, to when we go to these games, what we eat. We invest in these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a storyline. you know, the 82 storyline, 82 game storyline in both of these leagues. And you live and you die with your team. It goes up and it down, up and it down, up right. and down. And I have to say that both of these teams have given us as fans great regular seasons. I mean, great regular seasons.
And will the story end as Apollo 11 or will it end as the Titanic? That's really...
I mean, but why do you...
That's really because everything starts off very positive and there's a mission and there's a thing. So that's just my point. How will it end? You don't know. And we're sitting here now and the excitement is there.
Yes.
Where we could be looking at these guys on these teams as immortals for the rest of our lives in New York sports. That's how close the
thing is. I like it.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, Boomer and Geo, here we go again. Every time I come back for the break, I feel like that's going to happen. My God, what is happening to us today? It is opening day in baseball.
I mean, that's what's happening.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm
getting choked up over it.
Just want to say this.
Yeah.
That we, as Met fans, as the Met organization is concerned, are off to a flying start. They made the right decision. They made it early.
That's right.
They moved it to tomorrow. So that was a very practical, very good thing that they did. And I think we should just say thank you to the Mets for doing that. And
pat on the back spot.
Yeah, not making people sit in this just absolutely lousy weather today, no matter what it's like at 1:30. I don't care. You know, look at it outside. It's miserable.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible. And even if the rain goes through, there's not a single weather forecast now that has the rain stopping at 1 o'clock.
It's just not a comfortable day.
No.
Tomorrow's not going to be comfortable either because it's going to be windy, but still.
I mean, it sucks that it's not today. Would have been fun, but this is what happens when you live in the Northeast and try to play baseball games at the end of March. The hell you think is going to happen? You're going to get an 80-degree day? No, you're not. And the more and more I hear, I know Steve Cohen said it's not going to happen. The more and more I hear about the retractable roof thing and that idea, oh my God, am I into that? You know how many more games I would go to in that retractable roof? I mean,
one.
No.
No, there'd be more reason to go. I'm telling you.
Honestly, there's a lot of day games in April that, like, on a Thursday or a Wednesday, those getaway games.
Love to go to those games.
And if it was freezing cold and I don't want to go, now you put that retractable roof in there, it's nice and comfortable. I'll stop on the way home for a couple innings, get at it.
Like, I agree with you.
I'm telling you, especially early on in the season when like there's nothing to do because the weather still sucks, going to a game like that in April where you're comfortable, I'd be into it.
So just think about it. You go to Milwaukee, they have a dome. Go down to Houston, they have a dome. You can go to Texas, they have a dome. Obviously, they have a dome down in Miami.
Yeah.
Down in Tampa. I mean, there's a lot of places where, you know, these teams are playing inside. Games are never canceled, and the fans are comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, retractable for sure, because if you could do it, because you still have these beautiful days, you want to have that ballpark experience, but, I mean, you never have to worry about that ever again.
You're always going to have a game when you buy the tickets for the game.
Yeah, and then you never have to look ahead to the weather. It could be pouring, it could be thunderstorms, it would be hard, and you're sitting in there watching a baseball game. It's got to happen.
Yeah.
Come on, Steve. You got the $7 billion into this Metropolitan Park. Let's slap a roof on this thing.
Well, let's see what happens when this Metropolitan Park gets okayed maybe by the end of 2025.
Yeah.
Because that's when those licenses are going out.
That is true. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
What's going on? By the way, how about this? Just because it's so bizarre. So before today, I think the earliest home opener for the Mets was 1998, March 31st. It was 86.
86 degrees.
What?
And then the previous home opener they had, it was 42.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Pretty wild, isn't
it?
Well,
it's called spring weather.
Yeah, no,
86
I know.
That's extreme.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah, but wasn't it like when I was out that week that I was down in the DR, didn't you guys have great weather?
We did.
Yeah, not 86. I don't even think it got up to 70,
right.
Did it?
It was not 86. It was probably in the 60s.
Yeah, 65, something like that.
I think one day was 71, but it wasn't like gorgeous 70. It was cloudy in 71.
You know, I just want to say thank you to you guys today. You're all wearing BEF stuff.
We are.
Yeah, except for Eddie.
Except for Eddie.
Yeah.
Al's got his on. Jerry's got his on.
Yeah. Did you not get the text, Eddie? We're doing this for Boomer.
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I was not on that group text.
No, okay.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, thank you for giving us the stuff, Boomer.
Well, I think maybe it's because you guys felt guilty about what you did to me yesterday.
No, not at all.
I actually didn't even think about it one bit.
Yeah, it's a NARP pile on.
Kind of enjoyed it, actually, as I was going through it. It's funny. Okay. We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And we'll get to the baseball in a moment. But the Knicks-Raptors last night, talk about taking care of business early.
Here's McBride from three. Deuce McBride with 6 3-point field goals. He is 6 for 8.
Debo's record is in jeopardy here tonight.
It wasn't because he wound up hitting, I think it was 9 on the night. But either way, he had 6 threes in that first quarter, 29 points. Knicks beat the Raptors 145-101. Kenny Albert, Clyde Frazier on MSG. The Knicks win by a lot as they've now won 7 of 8. Jalen Brunson, 26 and 7 assists. Here was McBride and MSG. Good team basketball.
Yeah, definitely. You know, our game plan was, just find the open guy, making sure that we're moving off the ball and, light him up.
Ball wasn't sticking, as they say. Boomer.
They're going to have to change his nickname to Trey.
Trey McBride.
Right.
I like it. Here was Tom Thibodeau. So the Raptors are not a good basketball team. We know there was no Barrett. We know there was no Quickley. They were down some guys, and yet they took it very seriously.
There's teams that we've seen 30-point leads dissipate in 19-point leads. So you can never let your guard down in this league. And I think as soon as you start feeling too good about yourself, that's usually when you're going to get knocked down.
Well, they didn't get knocked down. They're 44-28, and they got Mitchell Robinson back. He played 12 minutes at 8 points. Amazing to be on the floor again.
It felt great. Just had to work on a few things and, just keep taking day by day.
Day by day, for sure. Knicks now, with that win and with Cleveland's loss to the Hornets, they're a half game ahead of Cleveland for third place now.
How do they lose to the Hornets?
Road game in Charlotte.
Donovan
Mitchell out.
Didn't play again, yeah.
I don't believe he played again last night, so there you have it. Nets beat the Wizards in overtime, 122-119, 38 for Cam Thomas. This report also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Elsewhere in the NBA, it's happened again. Now, you're not going to hear it in this call, but I will tell you there was an apology or an admittance after the game.
Leonard and Oubre set the jump. The ball is up. Leonard wins it. Batum taps it to Hield at half court with two. Right wing Oubre. He drives. He didn't get off in time. That's going to do it. The Clippers survive in Philadelphia. 108-107 behind the finisher, Kawhi Leonard. They get it done down the stretch.
And that was Clippers radio with the call. Kelly Oubre Jr. gets hit on the shot. Would have been about a tenth of a second on the clock. They don't call a foul, and the Clippers wind up with a one-point win. After the game, officials did admit that they missed the call. Should have been a foul on Paul George. Would have sent Oubre to the line for two free throws to tie and or win, and instead that did not happen. So be it. Sixers lose. Meantime, the Warriors beat the Magic 101-93. Draymond Green ejected 4 minutes into the game. He argued a foul call, then argued another foul call against a teammate, and the second time he got teed up. This was Steve Kerr.
Too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. He'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys stepping up.
Stop. Turn it off. Hey, he and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr get into it in practice? Did I read that?
I don't know.
That
you might
see,
have,
maybe.
But the thing that Draymond Green obviously had to step away from the game after another incident, and he went to therapy and anger management, all this stuff. It clearly has not gotten through to him because he, in that moment when he is screaming at the referee, is the time that he should probably use the tools that he was taught to relax or do whatever he needs to do, and he is just going in and in and in and hammering the guy.
And then you're like, I would not be surprised if he just clocked them. Like, that's where it's gotten to the point with Draymond Green. I've seen him punch a teammate out. I've seen him kick guys in the balls. I've seen him just like lift, you know, elbow guys in the face. Like, if he just turned around and knocked the referee out, I would not be surprised. Like, he would, I'm serious.
I know.
And there's like, there's evidence to support that. That point. So, I mean, he's still got a long way to go with that stuff, man. And when he's off the basketball court and he talks and
he's great.
He's awesome and he's intelligent and everything he says makes a lot of sense. But, man, when he gets going and gets in that competitive mode, like, he just loses his mind.
Now, I was reading about how Draymond Green supposedly choked Steve Kerr in practice. Now, this was a thing that went around the internet, I think it was yesterday.
Is Ballsack Sports?
No, it's not.
For real. Well, not a huge story then?
So it says, hold on, scroll down because other way. So it says, did Draymond Green choke Steve Kerr in Warriors training? So it says,
hard not to believe it all, okay, when it comes to Draymond Green. The news was posted by, is this Woj at ESPN? With a picture of Green and Kerr with a major, I don't know. It's just, I feel, part of me is like, Steve Kerr, I think he calls out Draymond Green, but he always goes back to the other players and tries to get away from that discussion as quickly as possible. Because it's a major problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through was that like Schmoge at ESPN? Or was it Woj?
And we're also brought to you by Ballsack Sports.
WOJD ESPN.
Yeah, well, he's just WOJESPN.
Draymond Green and Steve Kerr were separated at practice. And this Adrian Wojnarowski right here.
It's not him.
Okay. You make a lot of errors, man.
I don't know. It's just WOJESPN. It's not WOJD.
Okay. Okay.
Looks like you got D'd.
I just got D'd, yeah.
Okay, we move on. So the Warriors, with that win, they are hanging on to the 10th spot by a thread. Why would that be? Because the up-and-coming Rockets don't lose.
It'll be Rockets basketball. And ladies and gentlemen, in downtown Oklahoma City, it's going to be the 10th consecutive Rockets win!
Rockets radio with the call.
Jerry, and you can't get a job?
No, I can't. Houston wins 132-126 in overtime. Amen Thompson at 25 points, 15 rebounds, 10 straight wins for Houston, one game behind Golden State for that 10th spot in the West. Who knew? It is opening day in Major League Baseball, but it will not start at 1 o'clock today with the Mets and the Brewers because they were indeed postponed to 1:40 tomorrow afternoon with the weather. You do have the Yankees and Astros, though, at 4:10. Nestor Cortez facing Framber Valdez. All the action right here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage at 3:30. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy met the media in Orlando before heading back to Dallas. Bad ending to the season last year, as we know. No contract extension. Any added pressure going into this season?
I don't see it as more pressure. I think it's just the reality of our industry. I mean, that's what it is. So, those are business decisions, and those are really personal. Frankly, because we are subcontractors when it comes to the financial, component of it.
That is very good.
Going with Mike Tomlin on every show.
What do you think? Dion and his son are going to be running the team next year?
I think there's a chance. I do. Yes, I do. If they don't win, he's got to win.
Yeah, this contract situation with Dak is really interesting.
Weird.
It's a really interesting situation, depending on what they decide to do. And, Jerry may have his eye on Shador Sanders. You never know.
He might. Very possible.
Did I see that Jerry Jones choked Dak Prescott yesterday? Did I see that? Did I read that somewhere?
Is that on Ballsack Sports?
That was Mike Horio.
No. Schefter D at ESPN.
The Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament tonight. UConn facing San Diego State, one of the four matchups. Also, you got North Carolina and Alabama, Clemson, Arizona, and Iowa State, Illinois. Seton Hall did advance its local to the Final Four of the NIT with a dominant win over UNLV. We might get the Seton Hall Indiana State final. How about that?
Wouldn't that be something?
We would have Al invested in his Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Where is that game going to be played?
Indianapolis. The Final Four is in Indianapolis now.
You want to go to that game, Al?
Probably not. Probably just watch that on television.
I'd be more than happy to buy a check couple out tickets for it. And, the next day.
Actually, I looked. It's on like a Tuesday at 7. That's way too late for me.
Yeah, but I was just thinking maybe you and Gina want to fly out to Indianapolis.
You do like Indianapolis.
I do, but not during the week. You know that,
It's
Jerry.
Your school and an NIT championship game.
Take the week
game.
Off. Go spend the week in Indianapolis. The week off.
Go back to your school. Go back and, you know, maybe you can, you know.
I went last summer.
Now, when you went back, was that just on your own, just because you wanted to go back and see some, or did somebody ask you to come speak at one of the classes?
No, I wanted to go see John Cougar Mellencamp in Indiana, so when I went there, I was like, I'll just take a ride and go see Indiana State.
Has it changed much?
It has, yeah. Nice. It's very nice, but it did change a lot.
Right.
Pandemic was not kind to Terre Haute, Indiana.
Tough in a lot of cities. Yeah. You got the Rangers in Colorado tonight and the Islanders in Florida.
All right, thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, yesterday when we were talking about the NFL playing on Christmas on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I was telling you that it's got to be a Saturday-Wednesday type of situation. Well, that Saturday, the 21st of December, also happens to be a college football playoff day.
Yeah, that's right.
So the NFL and the college football playoffs will probably, well, not probably, will be going head-to-head, much like the NFL and the NBA will be going head-to-head on Christmas Day. And I'm thinking most likely what you're going to see, and it's very interesting because when I was talking with different people yesterday about scheduling and all that other stuff. And I don't know who's televising these games on Christmas Day, by the way. And I don't know who's televising the games on Saturday of that week. But you would take one division. So let's say you take the AFC East. And on Saturday, you got the Patriots and the Jets, and you got the Dolphins and the Bills. And then come Wednesday, you got the Bills and the Jets and the Patriots and the Dolphins.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
That's probably the fairest way to do it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And that's late in the season, too. So those games technically should really mean something for those individual teams, whether it's the AFCs or any other different division.
So obviously when they sat down and decided to play on this Christmas Wednesday, knew that they had to play the Saturday before to make it fair for the teams, they knew that they were going to be going up against the college football playoffs. So I guess the benefit that they believe that they get from playing on Christmas outweighs whatever viewership they may lose against a college football playoff Saturday.
I guess it all depends on who's in those college football playoff games. You know, maybe if Notre Dame versus Michigan is one of them, or
generally they're
USC versus Texas.
Yeah.
You know, I could see something like that, but
wait a second. Now, because the college football playoff is
expanding.
It's expanding. So this would not be
three games on that day.
All right. So yeah. All right. That's a hell of a lot different. That part of it, because it's not like a semifinal.
No, but it's like three bowl games essentially. Yeah. That have meaning to them.
Yeah, of course they do, but I don't know. It is interesting to go up against that. But the boom that they get from being on Christmas, I think they said, you know, whatever we might lose from those Saturday games,
They're not going to lose anything.
But they may, though. They're not going to lose anything with the NBA, but college football playoff ratings are big. And I know this won't be like
their standalone.
Yeah, but, I mean, the NFL on Christmas was standalone with football, at least. You know, basketball doesn't even really matter, so I mean, I don't know. This would be the biggest. So the NFL does not go up against college football ever.
Well, legally, they can't. You know, that's the Broadcasting Act of, what, 1962 or something?
So why is this changing?
Well, because it's after the timing of when they can and they cannot play. That's why they're playing that Brazil game that Friday. They're not supposed to be playing on Friday and Saturday. But because of the date is earlier than when that Broadcasting Act starts the NFL saying that you can't play on Fridays and Saturdays. Yeah. And it goes through September, October, and November, and then mid-December, I think it changes. And that's why the NFL ends up playing on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously the NFL is not going to be slowed down by anything. I'm not saying that. But I do think that if you have an interesting college football playoff game that's a better game than whatever ends up being on the NFL that day, just as the game is progressing, too, like you're just going to get viewers that go over there where they would not maybe go over to the NBA or Netflix or whatever else. I just think when you have a big option like that, there's a chance you lose some viewers.
All right, so you never know. You never know. Never know what happens to injury and all these other things. You know, the Jets were on prime time for a lot last year because they all expected Aaron Rodgers to be a part of the, you know, so that's how they kind of set up these schedules, these interesting schedules. So let's say they do end up using one particular division for both Saturday and that Wednesday. In your mind, out of all the divisions in the NFL, which is the most interesting and which do you think will be the most competitive late in the season amongst each other?
AFC North or AFC West?
What about the NFC North?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Packers got a great young team, great young quarterback.
Yeah.
Lions are one of the best stories in the NFL. The Vikings got stars all over the place.
Yeah, we don't know who their quarterback
is. Of course,
is
you got Caleb Williams and the Bears.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if the Packers are going to come back and be good. I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be good. And the Vikings have Sam Darnold as a quarterback.
Right now they do.
Okay.
They could end up having J.J. McCarthy.
You're telling me that
everybody's
going
to want to tune
in. The NFC North is more interesting than the AFC North or AFC West?
You know, if Zach Wilson goes to Minnesota, yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.